Yeah, I'm trying to get everything done.
Are you?
Yeah, of course
So
I am.
you've got a lot to do too.
Yeah, trying to.
Yeah.
Trying to. What's your domain again? I just want to check and see where you're at.
Daniel.com.
That's right.
I haven't been doing as much blogging as I did when I got started there, but little bits and pieces come and go.
Perfect. So you actually had some sales, some people, did they end up buying the books?
Well, actually, I realized it wasn't because they had come to my site. It was because I went to their site, and I left a comment, and then I thought, oh, my God, that wasn't what I was supposed to do. but I believe it was them that followed up with...
Yeah, that's okay.
Is it? Cause,
yeah.
It'll be interesting because it was... Oh, it was just something that I know nothing about, but I just said, well, you know, I just based on what you've said, you've touched on all the aspects of the organization's Alive model, and it might help you to think things through, but...
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. I was pleased, because if it is them, it meant that they read the comment, and they considered it, and then they followed up.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you.
Yeah.
So. You know, there's some people that I've been talking to that may have been online for, you know, a year, and not sold anything.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, in 1 week of doing some stuff, you know, there's a sale there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, it's just that, as we said before, I've got a lot of the back end stuff. I've got stuff to sell. It's getting it out there where people
exactly.
can see it.
Exactly.
But the interesting thing is that I've just set up my first conference call for Monday evening.
Oh, good.
I got somebody from Florida, somebody from Mississippi, and somebody from Ontario, and I have somebody in California, Calgary, and Tokyo thinking of joining us.
Perfect.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So this is just to figure out the mechanics. Like, they're not paying anything. They're volunteering their time to me to be my guinea pigs. But
yeah, sure, to do like a trial almost.
Yeah, but they're very well-respected people, so even if they say, you know, I had an interesting conference call the other day, then it'll be significant.
Good. So what service did you end up using then?
I haven't set it up yet, but I'm going to use this free conference pro.
Okay, and record it.
And then I'm going to do use the DimDim site because a friend of mine is going to lend me his laptop that I can use as a tablet.
Okay.
So I can use it as a flip chart, basically.
Good.
And have them see what I'm doing.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'm very very excited about that.
Yeah, and then, you know, once you get kind of something that you know works, it's just a question of starting to do it on a regular basis.
Well, exactly, because what I'd like to do, and, you know, I mean, times are tough and everybody's counting their pennies, but if I said, I don't know, something for $25 or less, come join me for an hour, learn the model, apply the model, and meet some colleagues, you know, mm-hmm. if I had 100 people on the call, then I can afford it, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. So I know that's what you do, but you just basically do it the other way around. Rather than charging for the call, you charge for the membership, right?
Yeah, and you know it's my stuff is very, very funny because I don't push the calls as often as I used to.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I do that is if no one comes on, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really, like most people charge a whole bunch of money for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
They charge tons of money for coaching. And the way that I set mine up, again, just a personal choice, is I said, look, if you're going to be a member, you get the coaching calls too. And what I wanted to do personally was I just wanted to know that on Mondays and Wednesdays and one other day during the week, I booked off an hour of my time.
With your people.
Exactly. I didn't like, and some other people you'll notice they go in fits and starts where they'll try and do, or they'll have to do 20 coaching calls with other people because they're actually, you know, they're doing not other people. I mean, other marketers or other joint venture partners, and they're not doing the coaching call to teach anything to anyone. They're using it as a marketing call.
Yeah, and I always feel sucked into something like that.
Yeah, so. that was a personal choice that I decided not to make because it frustrates the heck out of me. And I personally, what happens is that I always end up, when I'm on those calls, I end up talking about how to actually do what needs to be done as opposed to just saying, well, this needs to be done. Yeah. It's like most of the people that do those free calls will tell you what has to happen. You know, here's the 10 things that have to happen if you want to be successful online, or if you want to, you know, manage their organization, or if you want to, you know, work on organizational development. These are the 10 things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll talk about the 10 things, but they'll never tell you how to implement them.
Right.
That's what they're selling, right?
Right.
And that's fine. You understand that you do that, but don't, you know, I personally get tired of doing that.
Yeah.
And go ahead, sorry.
Well, even as we're talking here, I'm realizing that what I could do is say that the people who are licensed to get these calls for free, and just say, you know, book them on a regular time so the licensed practitioners always know that they can meet with me just as they do in your situation, but everybody else can join in at a fee. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's exciting. That would be another reason to be licensed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, these are things that you kind of have to try and be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it works. Different business types, it works differently. Like, for example, if you look at the, you know, the online crew and the internet marketing crew, they're almost pretty common. A teleclass is pretty common now.
Yeah.
And most people know when they've done two or three or four that if it's a free one, there's nothing in it anyway.
It's
a sales pitch,
yeah,
for an hour.
Yeah. Well, have we got two other people joining?
I don't know. I think someone else came on, but that's okay.
Am I just listening? The thing is that I've been doing these sessions with nonprofits in Ottawa, and I was trying to figure out how to do them, make them available to everybody, and this could be the answer. I mean, it's a taste. It's still going to be value for your $20 if that's what I charge,
mm-hmm,
for it. But you know, it'll even just give you an idea if you want to buy the book or not, you know. And
yeah, and you know, just the thing that the thing in the back of your mind that you have to, that's exactly what you have to kind of think in your, you don't want to give the whole solution to someone in these calls.
Yeah.
You want to give them, you know, the first of 10 steps or something, where you want to talk about all 10 steps but not how to implement them.
Yeah.
And if they're paying for them, you can start into it. But many people, it's been my experience, that many people, you know, even though they know how to do something and they get taught how to do something, they won't end up doing it themselves anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the back end, you know, you have to kind of look at your business and say, okay, what is the work that I actually want to be doing? Do I want to do the implementation for these people? Do I want to just teach the implementation? Or do I want to, you know, let people know what needs to be done?
And so that they can do it themselves.
Do it themselves, yeah. And you know, so it really depends on your market and what everyone else is offering. If you have competition or if you don't, then you can basically do whatever you want. And I, you know, some people, I know some people who market in, it's almost like where they do teleclasses in fits and starts. So they know they have an offline event upcoming at a certain date, and you'll see that they'll spend 2 months before doing teleclasses until they're blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Then they stop, do their offline event, and then a month after their offline event is finished and stuff is cleaned up, then they run through the cycle again.
Right.
So, you know, sort of look at the big picture and say, okay, well, what is it that I'm actually selling? What is the stuff that I have that's available for sale? And how much is it? Where does it fit into something that I'm either going to schedule as a recurring item, or am I going to do it in a cyclical manner where I'm supporting or tying it in to some other big purchase or some other offline event?
Well, the nice part about this is that, the thing I'm surprised about was how easy it was to get these two people in Florida and Mississippi to join me.
Yeah.
One is that they we've sort of become acquainted and trusted to each other through our association on this email list.
Yep.
But are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I thought I just unplugged you.
Yeah.
The fact is that this becomes a very different service because they're not only learning a way to use the model in their own business, they're going to be meeting colleagues that we only meet really on this email list.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be very exciting to realize that we just meet up, but we're actually knuckling down to some work together. And I don't know, I'm suddenly very excited about this. I think this could be a lot of fun. And the thing I like about it is that, you know, if I say, well, it's $20 for the hour, join me, you'll meet colleagues or you get me one-on-one, depending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have 500 people on the call, then it's very affordable for me. But
You know, and it's always fun. And the only thing that I can sort of just ask you to remember is that whenever you hear of someone that says, "Yeah, I've got 290 people on my teleclass,"
yeah,
"I've got 1,000 people on my teleclass," they've been doing the same teleclass probably for 4 years.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you that it took. When they first started out, they had 4 people,
yeah,
and then they had 4 people, and then they had 14 people, and then they had 24 people, and then they, you know, they had all of the other pieces of building a business were involved, but they stayed consistent with that one kind of marketing tool of these educational events.
Yeah.
So just, you know, don't get hung up right away with, oh, man, I didn't have 1,000 people.
Yeah, no, yeah, for me, I'm just as happy to start small and
just
to tell them that we're starting small, and
which
means that you get quality time then for sure.
Exactly. And the other thing that I would recommend, and again, this is just a personal preference, is depending again on how you position these, is if you know you're going to try and use the transcription as a product or productize it after, just practice doing a proper introduction and exit to them, and keeping it in the back of your mind that, you know, if I were to sell this, how could I make it something that's worth selling?
That it's a whole package.
That's right. That's right.
In the middle of a conversation.
That's right. So just position that in the back of your mind when you're doing these things.
Yeah, good idea. I'll have to maybe put a little script together to make sure I do that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not even I wouldn't call it a script. I would call it some markers. So it's like I would sort of script your introduction and script your exit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know how you do transitions from either topic to topic or questions to questions or, you know, person that's talking to person that's talking?
Mm-hmm.
I would script those and just say, well, if you're listening to this after the, you know, after this teleconference or you're reading the transcription, what we've talked about is this, that, and the other thing. There's some additional resources you might want to consider. Here's the links or the URLs that you should visit. And then, you know, you give links to either your products or your services or affiliate pages that you've got set up or other people that are on the call. You know, if you know that you have someone who's complimentary to you, don't be afraid to, you know, beforehand make sure that you sign up for an affiliate as their particular product and put that in. So, you know, visit janyul.com/ product A if they were offering it.
That's good.
Okay, so and then each time, you know, you have that, you can choose to give it away, you can choose to take it, for example, and say, look, here's 4 hours of content from this month's, you know, you can start bundling MP3 files and turn it into, you know, 1 month of organizational development skills, 4 hours, and it's just the recordings of the 4 teleclasses you've done.
Exactly. Yeah. This gets a little more exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, I'm using a headset that I got at Staples.
Yeah.
Is this? Can you tell that I'm hands-free, or is there?
No, it sounds perfect.
It does it? Okay.
Yeah, I'm having no problem with it.
Okay, because I wanted to make sure my hands were free for Monday.
Sure, for typing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing I'm going to suggest that you do as well. and this is for you specifically, because you've gone a week and a half now with the blogging, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to share something with you. I did a video on it, but I haven't posted it yet. Have you done a Google search for Januel?
Yeah, I have a Google alert for Januel.
Okay. Now, have you actually done a search for Januel?
Yes.
And where does it show up?
Oh, it's all me on the first three pages.
That's right. But the new site that you have, the blog site, okay. where does it show up?
Okay, just a second here. I'll take a look. Oh, it's second. How about that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, wow. How come now? Just because I've been updating it so much?
That's right. And because you've been using blogs and trackbacks and commenting on other people's blogs.
Okay.
Now, here's even something more important. Do a search in Google on Yules, and do it as Yules without the apostrophe.
Okay.
Do a search on Yules Tools.
Okay. Oh, look at that. Right up at the top.
Exactly. It's even beating your existing site.
So now why is that then?
Well, because Google loves blogs, and because you're, in under a week, you've already beating your existing site.
Yeah. That's interesting. Because for Yule's Tools, I'm not even on the, well, I'm sorry, I'm at the top, yes, but sorry, I was thinking it was the blog, but it's not. It's the old.
Well, on mine it is.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah. On mine, your blog is higher than your YuleandAssociates.com site.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, and here's a couple things that I just wanted to tell you over the next week. One of the things that you have to start doing on your posts, you're doing the kind of posts that are good.
Yeah.
But what you want to do is you want to start using the keywords and keyword phrases that you want to focus on, you want to use those in the title of every post.
Okay, I was wondering about that, because that would bring me up in a Google alert, right?
That's right.
So things like learning and organization development.
Exactly.
Even if it's just sort of the in brackets or the subheading or something, right?
Yeah, you want you want to keep a sheet of these phrases that are organized. See, go back, and this is when you're looking at the, you know, you're doing the other searches on the other blogs where people are posting about organizational development.
Yes.
What you want to do is you want to start keeping a list of the phrases and keyword phrases that you see over and over again as ones that relate to your particular market, so that you have a list of these keyword phrases.
By other people,
because instead of you trying to figure out all of the keywords and keyword phrases, the easiest way is to copy the work of everyone else.
Yeah. There's just so many in this one, because it's all, you know, everything from success to learning to return on investment, but just so long as I use one of those in all of them, right?
Yeah, like, and you're looking at organizational development. So, you know, what I would do is look at OD or organizational development, and then that word that comes after development, you know, learning, programs, reports.
Right.
And then what you're going to use is you're going to, every time you do a post, you know, it's going to be so-and-so reveals OD reports that make sense. Or I was reading about a OD learning mechanism or system.
Right.
And then you start using the keyword phrases and posts as in the titles of all of the posts that you're doing. Because right now you've been doing lots of great posts, but there's the keyword or the keyword phrase is not specific in the post.
So the title is all important?
The title's very important, that's right.
Okay. The other thing was, I don't get our RSS feeds. Like, what is the difference between just bookmarking it and go back to see the current version and having an RSS feed?
Okay, I answered that. Did you see it in the?
I couldn't get to it, and I haven't been able to go back to it.
Okay.
Yet I will, though, if it's there.
Yeah, it's there. It's in one about building websites. But you think of it this way: let's say you have a whole bunch of sites that are out on the internet, and they have stuff that's interesting to you on a certain page.
Right.
And what you do on your PC is you make a bookmark of that particular site or page. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your browser open, you make a bookmark. For you to know that anything has been updated on that page or on that site, you physically have to open up your browser, go to each individual bookmark.
Mm-hmm.
The bookmark will take you to one page on the bookmarked site.
Okay.
But what happens if that site has 1,000 new pages?
Right.
You'd have to manually search through and look to see which ones are new and which ones are not.
Right.
Okay? So in that case, the whole mechanism, it's you are sort of the hub, and you have to manually go out to check everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's if you bookmark.
Right.
And that was a traditional way of doing things.
Right.
Now, what an RSS feed does is with, like an Internet Explorer, just on the left-hand side, there's that star and that star plus.
Right.
Like, if you look at the star one, they have one there called feeds, and you can subscribe to RSS feeds.
Right.
Okay? And what it does is it basically manages, it's an RSS reader, what it does is the RSS feed says to the other website, it says, whenever something gets updated on that other website, can you please notify me and let me know what's been changed and any new stuff that's been added.
Right.
So you can subscribe to 1,000 RSS feeds, and every single one of those individual sites will talk back to your browser and update your browser and RSS reader to let it know specifically what page has been updated, and it will give a sort of a snapshot of the page. So it's the exact reverse of doing a bookmark.
But, okay, so all I have is sort of the list. Now, some are bold and some aren't. The ones that are bolded have been updated?
That's right.
Okay. So, but it doesn't tell me anything else, right?
Well, yeah, if you click, it depends on the feed. But, like, if you click on the, I'm just looking at one that I have, for example. There's one, Microsoft at Home.
Mm-hmm.
I get one there, and I look at it, and on mine, it has, for example, Microsoft at Work. If I look on the right-hand side, and this is just using Internet Explorer, it says displaying 40 of 74. So all has 74 feeds, and then it has new 40 new feeds.
Right.
And it shows me the title of the feed, and it shows me the first couple lines of the content that's associated with that update.
Because I don't get that kind of information on mine. Do I have to?
Yeah, you have Internet Explorer 7, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we? Are you online right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so just click on the orange star on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And you get a little window slides up, and one says favorites, one says feeds, and one says history, right?
Right.
So click on feeds.
Yeah.
And what shows up underneath in the panel?
Well, I've got a whole list of. But they're all just one-liners. And if I hold my mouse over...
Okay, so give me an example of one of them.
Okay, so Flawless Leaders.
Okay, so double-click on Flawless Leaders.
Okay, yes, and so it comes up. But.
And then on the right-hand side, where it came up, there should be, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a square there.
It says displaying 10 of 10, and is that it?
Yeah, so you've got 10 of 10, and in this particular case, there's no updates on that one.
Okay, so that box is the RSS box.
These are the RSS feeds that are showing up.
It's not the blogs box.
That's correct. But what happens is if, for example, there's one listed in there,
mm-hmm.
Is there one listed in there?
What do you mean?
Like, is there a list of
All I've got is displaying, and there's nothing in the box.
Yeah, but what about in the actual page?
Yeah, October the 11th. It's an oldie.
It's an oldie. Okay, now is there a listing of any posts or anything there?
Not a listing of posts. It says all. I guess there's only 10 posts, so it must
okay.
be.
Okay. Yeah, but does it show not in the box? I'm talking about in the page.
Yeah.
To the left of the box.
Yeah.
Is there any text there?
Yes.
Okay. What does one of the texts say, for example?
Okay. Well, the first one is. Corked in a bottle.
Okay, so just double. That's the listing of all of the current content that
right.
is in the feed.
Mm-hmm.
But double click on corks in a bottle.
Okay. Yeah. And now I come up to the actual web page.
That's right.
Yeah.
So so what you get is that page gives you a complete listing of all of the updates and a snapshot of them, so you can look at them and say, do any of these interest me?
Right, I see. So it's a management tool.
That's right, and it's the reverse of bookmarking, because if you bookmarked, you would have to go to that one site, and then you would have to try and find any of the new information on the site that you bookmarked, right?
Right.
You'd have no idea what was new and what wasn't new. Unless you look through every single page on the site and then tried to remember, well, was this here last time?
Now, can you create folders for all these feeds?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go over still on the left-hand side in the, you know, in, where we click feeds and all of that different piece there.
Yeah.
If you actually go and, for example, you have folders and subfolders.
Right.
If you put over one of the subfolders or one of the feeds, just do a right mouse click.
Yeah.
And you'll see there's create a new folder.
Oh, okay.
Refresh all, delete properties.
Right.
All of them.
Okay. So, and then you just move them in underneath that folder.
Yeah. So you can have the ones that are personal, ones that are work related, ones are competitor related.
Right. Okay.
So it's, you know, you've got your favorites are next to the feeds. The favorites you organize by bookmarks. The feeds you organize the same way.
Okay.
It's just that you always get an update as to when something is new in there, as opposed to having to muck around and go to the site.
So, and the RRS feeds are automatically in my inbox folders as well, right? But that doesn't slow the inbox down, right?
No, not at all. It's the same content, but you can, instead of even going to the web browser, you can look in Outlook, pardon me.
Right.
And it has the same content.
Okay.
And do you still have, on the right-hand side, do you have that box with displaying? And underneath it, there's a little bit of text that says View Feed Properties?
I don't have that on this one.
Okay. Let me just go back here. And I'm just looking at one here. If you go back in the left-hand panel of feeds and select one of the feeds, and it shows the listing of content associated with that feed, and the box should be there still in the upper right-hand corner.
Right.
And on mine, it says displaying 71 of 71, all sort by date, title, and then underneath the box, it says view feed properties.
Right. Okay.
So click on that view feed properties.
Yes. Okay.
And it says update schedule. Your computer checks the feed for new updates on a specified schedule, and by default it's every day.
Yeah.
Or you can use a custom schedule of whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay. Now there's something else that's kind of neat there. Do you see the one that says automatically download attached files?
Yeah.
These are podcasts or vidcasts. So if someone has an RSS feed where they're doing podcasts,
yeah.
What you can do is your browser will actually take a copy of an MP3 file, as an example, that's associated with whatever RSS feed that you've subscribed to. So if you're the publisher of the RSS feed puts in an audio file or they make a post that has a video in it, what happens is you can actually get a copy downloaded right to your PC and listen to it whenever you want without even having to go to their site.
So that might be even like an e-book that's available? Or?
Yeah, technically it can be any file, but most people use it just with a podcast, which is an audio file.
Right. So how do you attach a file to a blog?
All you have to do is just do your regular post, and it's all done automatically for you. When you're just posting right within WordPress right now, correct?
Right.
Yeah, so when you one of the options is attach a file, I think.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
Once you do that, the RSS feed says, oh, great, Jan's attached a file. I'll include it in the RSS feed.
Right.
And you can send it out direct. You know, anyone who's subscribed to your RSS feed automatically gets the download.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And this is where podcasting came in.
Okay. Oh, all these things that are
See, and the really nice thing about this one is that, you know, for a marketer is, you know, we have My Small Biz Mail with the autoresponder service.
Yeah.
And you have and get emails all the time, but do you read your emails all the time?
I usually try to do something with them anyway.
Yeah, do some of them get blocked by spam filter?
Yes.
Exactly. Do some of them maybe not even get delivered to you that you don't even know about?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, RSS publishing by blogging and subscribing to other people's RSS feeds guarantees the delivery.
Oh, I see.
There's no spam filters, right?
Right. Right.
And if you're subscribed, you get whatever you're subscribed to. And the converse is true. If you unsubscribe, you no longer have to worry about it.
Right.
Because you're unsubscribed. They can't still send stuff to you because you packed it in.
Right. So now, should I have the login on for my comments then, or should I have it off?
Yeah, well, I would recommend that you ask people to register. To comment, and you allow people to register and to comment, but you ask them to register first. And the reason that you do that is there's actual people who have written software scripts that look around for blogs that automatically post in comments, but it's just spam links, right?
Right. Okay.
And they generally do that on blogs that don't require you to register.
Because it's kind of a hassle. It's always another new password and username and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, well, you know, it's six of one and half a dozen the other. The thing is that if you ask someone to register to comment, they're going to be serious about it, right?
Right, right.
And if they don't really give a damn and they were going to make a stupid comment anyway,
they
won't register.
No. Well, I haven't had any comments on anything I've done yet.
Okay. Do you have it set up that they have to register?
Yes.
Okay. So you can be more controversial. That's one thing to do. And the other thing to do is you know, take a look and see which of the things do I like writing about, which are the things that, you know, that are that there's lots of competitors doing that are monetizing. How are they monetizing it? So you're at the point now where you're going to have to sort of look at the second step, right?
Yeah.
Which is, what are the keywords and keyword phrases that keep on coming up?
Okay.
And start in, you have a copy of Microsoft Excel?
Yes.
Yeah. So just what I want you to do for the next day or so is, when you make a post or you read other people's posts, take a look at the keywords and phrases that relate to your market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and just write those down.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
And then what I'll do is I actually have some in the My Small Biz You site. There's a menu on the right-hand side that's called Tools and Resources.
Yeah.
And the very, very first one in Tools and Resources says Keyword Research Tools.
Okay.
And it's a special tool that allows you to put in some of the phrases that you've looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one there called Google Synonym. Okay, so what happens is, let's say you put, I'm just typing one in, organizational development. It'll actually go and do a search on synonyms that are in the search engine for organizational development. And then you can start looking at, you know, Google Trends, Google search words. You can look, there's another one there for competition.
Uh-huh.
And there's one there called Key Compete, for example. And it will tell you how many competitors you have for organizational development.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And this is where it gets really interesting, because what happens is, let's say you get these words and you do the search and you do Google Compete or Keyword Compete, and you put in organizational development and you find that there's 25 other blogs that relate or vendors that are doing organizational development stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is, if they're blogging or they have RSS feeds, what you do is you subscribe to their RSS feeds, right?
Right.
And then you know exactly what your competitors are doing or not doing.
Right.
And you look and see what keywords and phrases are they using in the titles of their posts, and how are they explaining stuff. And this is the hardest part of all of the internet marketing stuff, because once you get these keywords and phrases and you find out how your competitors are using them,
mm-hmm.
that allows you to position yourself.
So when you say keywords, actually, in WordPress, you don't get to say my keywords are. What you have to do is just use them, right?
Yeah, you use those keywords and phrases in the body and the titles and descriptions of every time you post.
Right. So, but the tags and the categories.
That's right. You can additionally use them as the category.
Yeah.
And or the tags. And that's a good idea to do.
Because I don't think I understand really. I guess the tags are, you know, maybe somebody's name or a theory or something, whereas a category is more subject, right?
Yeah. Here's the easy way to start off with. Let's say, for example, I'm just going to go to Januel again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example of how important this is. Let me just go one sec. So I'm going to go to Januel.com. Okay, and I'm going to see there's one there called Eyes Front,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
So if I go to Januel.com and I look at the actual title and description of the web page in my browser,
yeah.
it says Organizations Alive! ! Windows Internet Explorer. Okay?
Yeah.
So now I click on Eyes Front.
Right.
Now the URL says Archives 306, but it also says up at the top, Organizational Alive Blog Archive Eyes Front.
Okay.
It takes the title of your post gets right. to be put into the title of the actual browser window.
Right.
And the other thing we'll have to do here is we'll create some categories for you, because what you want to do is right now everything it looks like you've got going into the archives, which
yeah.
isn't the best place for us, because what you can do is those categories, one of them can be called organizational development learning. So the URL that post would be in would be januel.com/organizational-development/learn-organizational-development, for example.
Yeah, okay.
So that the URL has your keywords and phrases in it, the title of the page has your keywords and phrases in it, the title of the content has your keywords and phrases in it, and you use the keywords and phrases in the actual body copy and links.
Because I have the category organization development,
yep.
see, and I have put that Eyes Front in that category. Like, could you just walk me through how you got the URL for that particular posting again?
I'm looking up the top, and it showed actually in the archives. It's showing in the archives. I don't know why. For example, search. You know where you're looking at a post, and it shows the tags, and it shows
yes.
posted in.
Yes.
You've got employee engagement, leadership, organizational development.
Yeah.
Okay. So just if you in that posted in, just click on organizational development.
Okay. Yeah.
And look up at the URL in the browser where you type in the
right.
You can see it says Januel.com archives category organizational development.
Right.
The title now has organizational development.
Right.
I don't know why it's going into the archives. You can take a look and see that.
I wonder if that's in the way.
You know, you've got one there, turning down talent.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the word talent.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of, you have to use a catchy phrase like in driver's seat.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that, Eyes Front.
Yeah.
You want something catchy, but you also have to think, how am I going to get people interested, a search engine interested as well. Keep that in the back of your mind.
So would I put Eyes Front first and then organization development or organization?
Yeah, like Eyes Front, keep your organizational development process working or something. You know what I mean?
Right. So it's always, almost always like a subtitle.
Yeah. Now, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt, too. You don't want to have organizational development in 500 posts.
Yeah.
But if you can do stuff, for example, like eyes front, you know, how teamwork does this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
You know, back at normal, or golf mark back at normal.
Yeah.
You know, keep change happening.
Right. I see. Okay.
But the thing that you have to do before you start doing this is now I want you to sort of figure out what are these keywords and phrases that you're running into continually, yourself and also your competitors. And the easiest way to find your keywords is to copy people who have already done the research.
Right.
And that's why I suggest use that, you know, at the My Small Biz U site tools and resources, keyword research tools.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch there that allow you to look and see what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, okay. It's just I know the people in OD are all over the map.
Yeah. And that's get a spreadsheet and start putting them down.
Yeah.
And as, you know, that's the one thing I have a lot of people that I talk to at this point. It's like they get all flipped out and oh man, it's too much work, it's too hard, I don't want it. This is the hardest part that you do, but if you do this right, everything else is a lot easier. If you do this wrong, you can do everything else right afterwards, but not earn a cent because you're not in the market that your customers are in.
Okay, because right now what I guess I'm working two angles here, aren't I? I'm working kind of in terms of gathering in all these people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm working with a few people that I do know and creating these, you know, downloadables, then I'm sort of building the credibility and the library of stuff.
Yeah.
For when these people I don't know come in, right?
That's right. And here, you know, here's the thing that often happens too when you, and I fall prey to this myself. It's like, you remember that you have prospects and customers.
Mm-hmm.
And what often happens is, especially with coaches and trainers and consultants and authors, is they get so worried about what their customers are doing, they stop prospecting as soon as they get some customers.
Right.
So you have to make sure that you've got both sort of bases going. I'm going to keep care of my customers by sort of drip feeding them or doing things like these teleclasses, but then what do I need to entice or inform and educate and build relationships with new people who don't know who I am yet?
Yeah.
And if you do it once and you cycle through once, you go, oh, great, I did that, now I can stop.
No.
You have to do the same thing until you're blue in the face.
It's business, right?
Yeah. You know, if you're not willing to market yourself, then you have to go get a job somewhere.
Well, it's just that, quite frankly, I think the internet marketing is my style of marketing.
Yeah.
Because going out and making the presentations and, you know, as much as I don't mind making cold calls, but I am not good at it. I don't have that.
It's not fun.
Personality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't mind meeting people new, but I'm just inclined to give them everything away as I'm walking out the door, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't close the sale very well. But if it's on the internet, then if I've got it set up right, it'll close the deal for me, right?
And apparently, there's no snow on the internet.
Meaning?
Well, I walked out to half a foot today.
Yeah, right. No parking charges and
none whatsoever.
Parking meters.
Bus strike? I don't care.
Yeah.
So what?
It's just beautiful. You really chose wisely 10 years ago.
Yeah. I am very lucky in that respect.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that was a conscious decision that I made and we made as a family kind of thing. So, you know, that was a very lucky that we sort of were able to do it when we were able to do it. So. But it's not too late.
No. If anything, I love the fact that I can put this together. And once it's together, of course,
it
runs. I mean, you keep creating new stuff, as you say. But once you've done it once, it stays. And you just have to point somebody in the right direction, right?
Yeah. Whoever has the most digital assets at the end of the day wins. So create them.
Yeah.
Create, capture. You'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Did someone else come on that had a question? Because we've been talking for a long time. You know what? I made a mistake here. You know what I think I didn't do? I don't think I recorded this.
No, it said it was recording.
Oh, did I? Good.
Yeah.
Oh, good, because this was a good call.
Yeah, there was lots of good stuff.
Yeah.
So now, where would I find this on your site?
Oh, hang on. I just turned myself on. I got to turn myself off here. There we go. Sorry. Yeah, this one will be in the open coaching calls, and it'll also be on the radio station.
Okay.
So the open coaching calls, that one's in the video courses.
Mhm.
And I haven't put Mondays in either, but I'll have to put that one in.
Yeah.
But I'll send an email that they're out and ready.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. Who else came on? Anyone else come on that had a question? Unmute yourself. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I thought I heard people join.
Yeah, you never know. Okay. I'll do one more call tomorrow night, but that'll be it until January too. So.
That's okay.
Yeah, we'll do.
So I got my homework here, though, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you're in good shape there. But I was so pleased when I just you know, that just shows you how powerful that the little surf and subscribe thing is, and you start posting on other people's sites. And you know, within a week, your blog is ranking higher in some cases than your existing site.
Exactly. So that's a good illustration of your point, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, someone says, I can't do anything. I never get any traffic. You know, no one knows about my blog. Or, well, you know, have you made 3 to 4 posts a day that are short? And have you referenced other sites that have existing traffic and stuff? Well, no. You know, I had to do a refund today for someone, and for the Get Ranked First on Google program. You know, I don't like the program. Well, have you done anything in it that was outlined in it? No.
Well, you better take your money back.
Well, yeah. I don't want to do it. Well, how do you expect to get better rankings if you don't do it? Well, I just wanted to read it, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything would work out properly. Well, no, you dolt. But you know, you get people like that, and it frustrates the hell out of me, actually.
Well, I have a colleague who's in selling yourself through your resume to get the job you want.
Yep.
And it's the same thing for her. She says, you know, I lay it out. She says, it's as if they think I should be able to read their minds and do it for them. But
yeah.
Who's going to sell you but you, for heaven's sake?
Bunch of lazy shits. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, well, they're just in the wrong. They just haven't found their spot yet.
Yeah, well, they should probably be working for OC Transpo and be on strike for the whole year.
There you go. They could do nothing and get paid for that.
Yeah, I want to work less but get paid more. So I'm going to go on strike, okay? I guess that's human nature. It's kind of web nature, too, probably, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So what do you do? But, you know, it just amazes me when people ask for refunds. And it's hard with information products, too. You know, I get people that ask for refunds from time to time, and it's, you know, did you read the book? Did you watch the videos? No.
Well, I can't imagine really anybody thinking that they should get a refund in terms of what you've got there.
Well, you have to. You have to, because...
Well, you have to offer it, but I can't imagine people wanting it.
Well, you know what? People who look at it and go, I don't want to do it. Or there's some people that say, I'm not willing to do the work right off,
yeah.
And they don't even watch the videos. You know, they wanted something else. That'll happen. And then there's people who just watch it and keep it and then want just, they're cheap, so they want the money back. But the problem is that most of the merchant gateways for Internet-based stuff will force almost, if you ever go and fight for the, you know, for the refund, if you're blatantly being ripped off, they'll side with the customer anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a lot easier to say, you want a refund? Fine, take the refund.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that way, too.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Unless you're shipping a physical product.
Well, I even, somebody bought 2 books from me back in May,
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in the States, and within 10 days she was complaining that it hadn't arrived yet. And I said, well, I sent it by mail, you know, sometimes it takes more than 10 days.
Yeah.
And she was on my case every single day, and I finally just refunded it to her. And about 2 days later she says, guess what arrived? And then it took her 3 months.
To pay you.
To pay me.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? You're not ever going to get anything from me up front.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of the way it is. So. Oh, well. So did anyone else have another question before I call it a holiday?
Call it a holiday, yeah.
Call it a holiday? No one else has any more questions? Going once? Going twice? Going seven times? Okay. Do you have any more questions at all, Jan?
Oh, I have lots, but not for today, I don't think.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
The one thing I do have that I'm not quite finished is I do have a little workbook on how to sell your ebook.
Okay, great.
So that's something you might be interested as it comes out. So it's something that basically shows you the steps for getting your ebook ready to sell.
Great, that's wonderful.
Okay.
The other thing was I got the autoresponder for 1,000. Like I will be setting that up. I just need a chunk of time to get into it. But were you going to do one for 500 as well?
Yeah, I'm not going to do one for 500.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Let me think about it. I'm trying to, you know what? Hang on, maybe I will. I'll make a whole bunch of levels.
Because as soon as it goes over 500, it should just automatically switch, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's got to be done manually. So and then, you know, there's you have to allow an upgrade to the next one kind of thing. So let me take a look at that. But, yeah, I can do something for 500, I think.
Yeah. Well, I just even want to play with it. I'm not actually going to probably be using it until I...
You should be using it right away.
Well, I probably should, and it's probably as soon as I get into it, I will try it.
Yeah.
But it's that one of, you know, it's, I know it's, there's a learning curve there still.
Yeah. You know, and the minimum is that you at least give people the opportunity to subscribe to something on every page that you have.
Okay.
And because you'd be amazed and delighted how quickly you can actually get people signing up to your stuff. And you know, if you use the autoresponder correctly, it becomes your marketing because you automate the task of following up with people.
So just out of curiosity then, from my blog, where do I put the sign up? Like, do I...
You can add on the side of the blog in the sidebars, there's a way to add a little form, for example. Or you can just put a button, as an example, that says, you know, click here to download our newsletter, or click here to subscribe to, or click here for a special report, or click here for a free teleclass, or whatever you want to give away.
Is that a form in WordPress, or just the particular template that you use?
What happens is when I say click here for a... Anytime you have an autoresponder, even not with, you know, even ones other than ours, if you have an autoresponder, you set up an autoresponder in the software. And one of the properties of that autoresponder is an HTML form.
Okay.
So you just click HTML form, and then it asks you, it says, well, what kind of information do you want to collect? Do you want to collect their first name, their last name, their full name, their title, their address,
right,
and all of these things. So in many cases, what I just do is I say all I want is their first name or their full name. So I click their first name, and that's, and then I just say, there's a little wizard that you walk through, and it's, you know, pick the additional details you want. So I click off first name, and then there's a button that says generate HTML.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives you a little snippet, a couple lines of HTML, and what you do is you take that snippet of HTML and you would add it to the template of your WordPress blog.
Okay. I think I know how to do that.
Yeah, and then when the WordPress blog gets displayed next time, there might be on the sidebar, you'll see that the form now shows up where it says, you know, enter your first name and email address, click here to submit.
Right.
Okay. And of course, what you need to do is when you click that button that says generate HTML as an example,
mm-hmm,
you get the form information in HTML, but what you need to do from there is, if people have no idea what the form's for, what you want to do is you use an editor like FrontPage or Dreamweaver or anything that you're using to do HTML. And what you do is you would put like a little description up top, right? You make in red the title, you know, free newsletter, free special report.
Right.
And then once you've added the text to it, you would take all of the HTML text in your editor that included the form and paste that into the sidebar of the template of your blog.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. There's videos on that too, so.
Okay. Yeah, I know I want to sit down and go through all those videos.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you lose somebody or did it come on?
I don't know. Anyone else there? Going once, going twice. Now it is late. It's 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
So all the best for the holidays. And
yes, and I'll send you an email when I've got that other link up for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Take care.
You too, James.
And continue blogging.
I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Any other questions? There we go.